Seatbelts on, check your mirrors, volume up. The Under Construction Podcast with Aidan Power and Pat Moore starts now. Welcome to Under Construction with Chadwick. So Pat Moore and myself, Aidan Power, and welcome to the final episode. Pat, I think you should sing a song, something fitting for the final show, something like the opening bars of My Way.
I was thinking more of Show Me the Way to Go Home. That's what I was
thinking.
He's
like, where's the door? Let me out. It's been a great series, but we have a pretty much blockbuster episode for the final one. What have we got?
We do. We have the famous Baz, who is the host of DIY SOS. And we're also lucky enough to have three of my colleagues on from Chadwick's who will also be discussing DIY SOS and the work we've done with the Irish Wheelchair Association.
All right, let's do it. Well, we are delighted to welcome our next guest to the podcast series, making a return from series one. Did any other guest get a rebooking, Pat? I think he's the only one.
Oh, he's the best looking one.
Oh!
Boom, boom.
This is why I come back here.
Every time.
Just when my confidence is low.
The flattery. Baz Ashmawi, good to see you, pal.
Good to see you, man. Good to see you.
Thanks for joining us on the podcast once again. And thanks for taking the time, because it's a very busy time for you and the team of DIY SOS. You're mid-season, if you want to call it that, and you've been to Mitchelstown very recently. We'll see that in a few months' time, possibly on the TV. You're on to Ennis. We'll talk about current projects in a moment, but let's maybe go back to the beginning of DIY SOS briefly. Obviously, this was a show you were aware of from the UK, but did you have any idea just A, how big a show it is, how complex it is, and how life-changing it is?
I knew it was a really successful show in the fact that anytime I'd watched it, I'd got it. It's running 20 years in the UK, right? Which is, I can't think of many shows that are running that long. So it's running for 20 years in the UK. And when I saw it, I thought it's very sweet. And I kind of, it looked to me like the format was a little bit old. And I thought if Irish people were to do it, Irish building sites are very funny places. They are very funny people, and Irish people in general are just great crack. And I thought we'd have a good whack at making something slightly different, but just as good, if not better.
Yeah,
you know. My only fear was the fact that the presenter in the UK,
Nick Knowles,
is a very blokey bloke, very handy. Very useful and would know his way around a building site, or gives off that impression, definitely, while I am the opposite of that and I wouldn't have any idea about anything.
Would you not?
No.
Okay.
You know, I just haven't got an interest in it, never had an interest in it. But my thing is people. I like people and I like meeting different people, and that's kind of what I had. So I just had to say from the start, look, if you're looking for a Nick Knowles, I'm probably not him. There's probably other people that can give you that. Like if you're looking for my opinion on architraves and stuff like this.
Yeah. Just,
I'm using you, the... You do know you're a local timber.
Well, I'm learning as we go along. I can talk the talk now a little bit, but it's been a big learning curve for me, which makes it very interesting.
You know? It does, yeah. And so what have you learned off the top of your head of 3 years of being on sites and meeting every tradesperson imaginable?
I think it's just a matter of being able to, like, if someone was to walk me into a site and talk me through it, even from a design point of view or a construction point of view, I couldn't visualize ever what they were on about. I just go, yeah. And I can't see it. Now I can kind of see it. I can kind of, I see how it works. I see how quickly things go up. First fix electrics and second fix. And, you know, you just get into the lingo of it. But these guys are doing it at such a pace that it's like listening to a podcast on 2.5 speed or something. They're just doing stuff so quickly that you can miss a lot, you know, but it's an amazing thing to watch. It's an amazing thing to see come together, you know.
And to see it up close, to see the skills of these various tradespeople, that must be impressive as well. Not only the level of work that they can achieve, but I guess the pace and the speed they do it at as well.
Well, that's another thing that I kind of liked about it, of me not being, you know, the builder, because this guy is a skilled carpenter, or this guy's a skilled painter, or, you know, like these, like me pretending that I'm, you know, doing a bit of painting, or it would just be such an insult to them because they do this and this is what they do so well. And the relationships, just seeing how they all interact, because a normal building site, as anyone knows, doesn't work like that. You know, people are waiting to, you know, there's a kind of a way it's done. While on DIY SOS, that's all out the window. So they have to find a way to work with each other and make it work. And they always do, you know. That's a tribute to them, really, you know.
Baz the Builder does have a good ring to it, though. I think there's probably a song you could sing there.
Baz the Builder, yeah. Well, my wife nearly split her head open laughing on the floor. She fell off the bed when I told her I was doing DIY SOS. She was like...
She was excited you were going to be in a high vis.
I think she was just excited I'd be out of the house for 10 days, to be honest with you. But
how... this might seem very obvious, but just how challenging is it to deliver, maybe not so much for you, but for the entire team collectively, to deliver a project on time and get it done? Because the undertaking is vast.
Yeah, it's just the demand on everything to go right. I think that's what it is. You're like, things get delayed, things don't arrive. There's just no time for that knock-on effect. You know, things have to go smoothly, which they do mostly. But it's just, yeah, it's a massive time pressure. Like, the people are only there for a certain amount of time. You know, there's a TV side to this. There's two things going on. There's people building or renovating a house, and then there's a TV show. And the two of them kind of collide a bit sometimes. So you've people going, God, you know, they have to put down their tools while we're filming, and it really annoys them. So we kind of explained very quickly, the sooner you do this and give me what I need, the sooner I can leave and you can go back to work. Because like some of the guys will show off and the women on site would be, you know, they'd be shy. They're not there to be on TV. They're there, which is a tribute to them, which shows you what kind of people they are. But they have to be on TV. This is the way I see it. If you're here, I've full rights to go and talk to you. But there is a lot of pressure. I've seen the gaffer sweat a few times, and even demands on the carpenters and everybody. You know, plumbers. You know, it's constant pressure. But that adds to the excitement of it. But they work. Like, they don't work normal. They work through the night, and it's not
one piece people don't see. Is what
they don't
on the
see.
Background.
You can't see it, can you? You know, can't. It's the level of dedication they have to it. You know, leaving their families like that, and again, they're doing it for nothing. They're doing it. Well, they're doing it for the payment of seeing their good work and what it does for a family. For that final day to see the house handed over to a family, and who's. Something very sweet about seeing someone just overwhelmed. Like, what do you say after thank you? How do you thank someone for changing your life, for making your life easier, and to do that for a stranger? It's all that corny stuff that actually is incredibly endearing and gives you real faith in humanity, because you read a lot of stuff and it's dark out there. But then you go onto a building site in Cork and you see all this happen in front of you, and you think, God, this is a different world to what I'm reading about or what I'm seeing every day. This is people really digging in for each other, real sense of community, you know?
Did that catch you off guard? Because I'm obviously having the version of the show in the UK, you've a sense of a load of people will show up, give their time and their efforts, and do something that potentially changes or certainly helps someone's life. But were you caught off guard when you witnessed that firsthand? Just the, like... You've made TV all your life. The purpose of TV, by and large, is to entertain people. But this has a much more meaningful and lasting impact. It is actually changing people's lives, as well as making a television show.
Absolutely.
That's very different to a lot of other stuff you would have done.
That's a very good question. It's using TV is what it's doing. It's going, what can we get out of TV to make this happen? So we're going to bring all these people together, people like Chadwick's, like... doesn't really work without them. Like, that's the truth. You need these big companies to come on board and help you out and be willing to and be happy to. Like, that's a big deal, you know. And but as long as the TV show does well and you know, it's good for their company and they're seen doing something that's positive for the community, I think you walk away and you feel better. You know, you feel better about what's being done, and your loyalty to those companies probably changes a bit as well. Like, I think that's kind of what it is.
Looking at, I've written my bits, but I think it's got DIYSOS, certainly for Chadwicks, has a far more reaching effect even than the families. When you go into the branch, when the branch gets involved in the whole DIYS project, as Baz said, like the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes beforehand, like we're handing the script to a branch manager, and on top of all his work or her work that she's doing on a daily basis, then down comes DIYSOS. They don't even blink an eyelid. Like the first time we did it with Ross O'Connor and Santry, he was kind of the captain for the first episode. He just drove it on, and the other managers heard about it and they all jumped on board. But the difference it makes for the branch, like the difference the branch, like lads are giving up their time, girls are giving up their time to help out. Mm. You like Baz mentioned stuff being delayed. Chadwick's never left anything being delayed, Baz.
No, but that's why I'm saying people like Chadwick's are like, it's safe hands. You get into these desperate situations, but you have these safe hands behind you that don't let things fall behind. And it's that kind of dedication and urgency to a project like that that makes it work.
And even for us, we've met plumbers and carpenters and plasterers that we didn't even know. So we've made connections, the branch managers have made connections, the guys in the trucks have made connections. I mean, even with the greatest respect, even when they go to the site and they see Baz there, like, to get the photograph taken, it's huge for them. Sure. Like, and it just spans itself all over. It's a bigger program, I think, to be fair to you and the rest of the production crew, you give yourselves credit for. It is a massive undertaking, but it's a massive achievement when it's finished.
And how helpful is it to have the, I know on some of the sites, the literally Chadwicks have a pop-up. Mm. So if you need your drill bits or various tools or whatnot, it's literally there in the garden.
Well, that's just, again, that's coming back to, I think, time. It's all about time. It's all about, like, if they need something, they have to go get it. You go to a pop-up, you walk across to the tent, you grab what you need. That is just essential. Like, it makes even the one we did in New Ross, do you remember that one? Like it was like a festival. Like, it was a big marquee tent, a big Chadwicks marquee tent, and we even used it for storage at one stage, I think, as well. Like, it was and it was in the height of summer in the sunny southeast, and you know, there was a beautiful feeling to a project like that where you're just all in the field in the middle of nowhere, you know.
Yeah.
Building a complete house. Like, it was just so bizarre, but it was so, so magical as well.
Their memories and experiences you'll treasure for life. And no doubt you've made hundreds of friends throughout the course of the show. And you know, meaningful relationships with people. You'll always, you know, it's that thing of when a team win the Premier League or the World Cup and they're in the dressing room afterwards, or they see each other 10 years later. They don't even need to speak. They just look at each other and go, we know what we did together. Maybe there's a touch of that to it as well.
Like, it's funny because I went back out to New Ross recently. I was in Wexford and I had my girls with me, and I went out to see Johnny and Lynn, and we did the build out there with the volunteers and Chadwicks and all. Like, it was just stunning. Like, it was a beautiful house. It's the one where Peter built the steel piano, the plant.
Oh, yes, that was...
It's just gorgeous.
Fabulous.
Just gorgeous.
Totally unique.
But I went out there with my girls, and I was having a cup of tea with Johnny and Lynn, and the girls were in go-karts, you know, these big, huge kind of go-karts, and they were just doing laps of the house. And next thing, one of my daughters came in, and she was like, Dad, can I talk to you for a second? And I was like, talk to me here. And she's like, she was giving me that nudge, you know, the head nudge, come outside. Right. And I went over, my other daughter's like bawling. And I was like, what's happened? And then I see like a chunk of the house. She, after plowing this go-kart through the side of the house, I was like, 10 days it took to build. And like, it took you 15 minutes to dismantle the corner of the house.
God.
But we fixed it quickly, you know.
Did you?
But it is that thing. You are connected. You are connected to these families, and you are connected to the people on that site.
Of all the builds that you've been in so far, was there one element of a build that you went, how did they do that?
I think the one we did in Redemption Road in Cork was for, that hasn't been aired yet, but that's for a young guy who was on a basketball scholarship in the States, and he came home and he had an accident where he fell out a window and he was paralysed from the waist down. And the house, if you know North Cork, it's all on a hill. The whole thing is on a hill. So as soon as you come up into the house, like, you can't get down because it's these huge, deep steps in. And then you go into the house, and even the back of the house, the garden, is all on a real big slant. And that was the one where I was like, Adam and his mum and his dad, Brian and Mar, they're all living in a one-bed bungalow that was donated to them from a family. So, and when I met him, he was like, I can handle being paralysed. I can handle getting my head around that. I can't handle my mom, my dad gawking at me in a little room for the rest, and the guilt of them having to leave their home. So that was the one where I was like, I have no idea what you're going to do with this, how you're going to make this work. But like they put in one lift at the front of the house. So Adam would be lower down to a level, he'd be at the door. And then the construction that went into that place is just like a stairs and a lift in a living area that goes down into another living area, out into a big open garden with a... it was just, you have to kind of see it, but it's magical. And his face, it's like a Beverly Hills mansion in North Cork.
Wow.
You know, it's one part of the house is just glass and you look out over North Cork and how happy he was. He was just... You couldn't imagine. And those kind of builds, that's where I'm saying, like, I would have no idea where you would begin with that.
Did you ever take part in building a few bits yourself? Where did
I'll tell you what I like. I like Demolition Day. Does that surprise you?
What a surprise. No, it really doesn't.
Does Aline allow you to do the Demolition
Day? She does. Wreck-It Ralph. Well,
I like a sledge. I won't lie. I like a sledge. I like the lads are taking down the roofs. I don't even mind. Like,
this is my therapy.
Yeah, taking down wheelbarrows and just dumping them into the skip and come back. That first day or two, I really enjoyed that. I really liked that.
You like the labouring?
Yeah, I like the labourings because I'm not skilled at anything, but I can take a sledge to a wall, you know.
Now, on site, what's the kind of order of things in terms of, is there a hierarchy? Is there like rivalries, jealousies?
You had her in here a few weeks ago. That's the hierarchy. Oh, she's the queen.
Safety. Who's that, Helena?
Helena, yeah.
So if it works down from there, but then like you have the chippies and you have the plasters and you have the plumbers, is there a pecking order to it all? And does maybe one group not get on with the other, so to speak?
No, they have to get on. So the only people that you'll usually find clash a bit are probably your gaffer. So we say Brandon would have been the gaffer on Cork, and then he'd have one of the designers. So usually designers and the build team tend to clash a little bit because the lads are just, they're a construction point of view and the designers have different priorities, let's say.
And visions.
I think someone used a great expression to describe herself. Aoife, yeah. Aoife called herself the guardian of the design or something. I was like, ooh, are you now? You're the guardian of the design. So they tend to clash a little, but that's all good TV as well. So I try and throw a few grenades and stir it up as much as I can whenever I'm around them. But
you haven't been punched yet?
Not on camera. No, not on camera. I've avoided that. But you see, again, you have like a whole team in the background who are organising everything from materials, you know, the back office, even from a production TV point of view. There's a whole team who are just there to navigate the build. Like it's
phenomenal.
It's phenomenal.
And get your head around it, I'm sure even to witness it, you're still going, this is just mad how this all works.
But exciting, you know. And like the things that I notice is the people on the street that live on that street, the excitement it brings to the area, the kids coming up to the tents and having food and robbing chocolate bars and, you know, just enjoying
it. There's food everywhere.
Enjoying it, you know. Yeah. People coming down and bringing cards and it's... It's very special. It's very community based, and for someone like me, I love it because I get to see the personalities of counties.
Right. Okay.
You know, because like, they are quite different. You know, you go to North Cork, and it's, you know, I think they're sponsored by Fáilte Ireland or something. They just keep telling me how amazing Cork is the whole time.
Amazing they are.
Yeah. I was like, wow, yeah. But it may, like, I see it. As much as they'd hate me to say it, it's very like a Dublin sense of humour. They're very proud people, very sharp. Yeah, yeah. They won't let you away with much. You know, they take the mickey, and people like that around on site are always great because they take away the pain of the labour and hours that you're doing, you know.
Now, in terms of volunteers, there can never be enough. Mm. Is that the case? I know you're on to Ennis very soon.
Yeah, Ennis will be a big one as well. Yeah, each project is different. Sometimes, you know, you need more landscapers. Sometimes you need more people helping out in the garden. Sometimes there's a lot of carpentry and you need a load of chippies. It just varies. But they'll never turn anyone away. A lot of the time you'll have a Sparks come down. He'll do a bit of work. He'll kind of finish up what he's doing and he'll just throw his hand to something else. You know, sometimes it's just an all hands on deck kind of thing. But you got to remember, a lot of these people are very skilled labourers and the quality of the builds are of a very, very high quality. So It just depends. There's certain jobs that won't be thrown to anybody, but there's always work. There's always something to be done. So that's why we're always looking for volunteers, you know.
Okie doke. Will Nancy ever make an appearance on the show? Is there any way we could work Nancy into this?
She's kind of overshadowing my career greatly at the moment. So we're not talking at the moment. We're just mediating through our agents.
That's showbiz, folks.
That's showbiz. That's what happens when you bring your mother into things. No, she'd love it. She'd love it. It's her type. She loves watching it. Her mates love watching it. She's very proud of me doing a show like that. Yeah. You know, she enjoys seeing me do it. Good. And she enjoys the families. She's a nurse for 50 years. So she can relate and empathize with a lot of the things that these families go through. I think that's the biggest eye opener. Mm. You know, it's that thing of just being in your own life and just getting a bit down sometimes and thinking, oh, life's a bit crap. And then you just get this slap in the face and you sit in front of a woman and she tells you what's going on with her life and what's happened to her son and he's in a wheelchair. And all of a sudden, all your, you know, and you're entitled in life. This is the thing. You're entitled in life to feel a bit sorry for yourself every now and then. But every now and then you do need to pick yourself up and be very grateful. Because there's other people that are going through things like motor neuron disease, and there is no positive outcome. I said this to a woman, Laura, who's in remission now, but she was going through stage 3 chemo. And I was like, there's someone worse off than you. And she was like, really? And I was like, yeah. And I was telling her about Johnny. And then she was like, God, I feel bad now. And I was like, don't you feel bad, because I feel bad telling you, you know, like, but it is, it's true. There's always someone who's slightly, you know, and it's not a competition who's worse off. It's just a fact of every now and then, if things are going okay, be grateful, take your moments, be happy, you know, just take them when they're there. And everybody that comes down and volunteers, I promise you this, there's a reason. There's either someone that affected them in their lives, or that, you know, they have children, or they've been through hard times. I've had women there who have brain tumors and were doing mosaics, and you know, and you know, it's giving their time still because they feel the need to give back because they're grateful for something like this. You know,
do you know if you could bottle and sell it, the world would be a better place,
great,
wouldn't it?
It would be great, Aidan. You know,
yeah, and like that impact, and you spoke about it, Pat, that it's
wider.
Yeah, the ripple effect to it. Well, long may it continue. Baz Ashmawi, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks, lads. Thank you.
Building, roofing, plumbing, paving. Painting, fencing, drilling, or decking. Whatever the job, big or small, your local Chadwicks has everything you need. From power tools and plant hire to doors and floors, bathrooms, gardening equipment, and more. Choose from a massive range, get expert advice, and next day delivery. We have 40 branches around Ireland. See chadwicks.ie. Chadwicks, let's get it done. Terms and conditions apply. Well, as Pat mentioned, not one, not two, but three guests all joining us on the podcast this week are various branch managers at Chadwicks. We have Mark O'Mahony, who's in Waterford, Sean O'Sullivan joining us from Clonmel in the county of Tipperary, and from Galway, Michelle Fahey, who's branch manager at Chadwicks there. Hello to you all. We will start with Mark, seen as for no preferential reason other than that your name is first on the list. Mark, how are you today?
Very good, Aidan. Very good. Thanks for inviting me on to the show. Really looking forward to it.
Great. Okay, well, your first opportunity is to have a go at Pat before he gets the first dig in. So would you like to do that?
Not at all. Pat's one of our favourite head office colleagues. He's one of the nicest blokes you could ever meet.
Isn't it funny how they fold once we go into record? Yeah. There was some amount of sledging going on here that you wouldn't get at an All-Ireland match. And now everyone's just nice and friendly.
It was just aiding the fact that you mentioned it was recorded for all times. And, you know, my next review is coming up in 6 months' time. So I just felt I'd better look after the old career, you know.
Well, maybe that is smart. So look, Mark, Sean and Michelle, we're all going to chat about many things today, including the work with various charities and indeed television programmes, including DIY SOS. But if I can start with you, Michelle, and just talk about out west in Galway, how important Chadwicks is, not just in terms of, you know, what it says on the door and what you do, but how important you are to your local community.
Yeah, to be honest, Chadwicks Galway has a long-standing relationship with different organisations throughout Galway, including the Men's Shed, which do great work. They're based out in Oranmore. We also partner with the Irish Wheelchair Association. So I think back in 2021, Chadwicks, the Chadwicks Group started to partner with the Irish Wheelchair Association. They do great work. They obviously focus on people with disabilities and trying to make sure that their members get equal rights, and campaigning as well for changes where needs be for equal opportunities for them. So in Galway recently, what we did is we partnered with the Irish Wheelchair Association for one of their housing developments, which is actually located just across the road from our branch, where we just provided some gardening materials, paint, things like that, just to give the landscaping around the area a bit of a refresh and a bit of a update for their community.
Very good. And I guess the obvious fact is that you can provide practical goods and indeed practical services, which otherwise would cost, in your case, the Wheelchair Association, cost them a lot of money. So you can come on board in a very practical sense.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's about supplying materials that just makes life easier for those people, because sometimes it can be a case of adaptations need to be done to make things more accessible for people. And whereas we wouldn't always have the manpower to do that, we have the materials on the ground here to make that to make the projects a lot easier for people.
Like, we've done a number of projects across Ireland now. Just recently, we've just finished one in Coolock.
So is this a nationwide association that you have with the Wheelchair Association?
Yeah, nationwide. So we were involved in a number of different projects. So as Michelle mentioned, from painting and landscaping, but also into the point around boilers and bathroom renovations. So as you can appreciate, mobility is an important thing for people in the Irish Wheelchair Association. So we help them to adapt those premises to allow mobility to be a better place for them.
Great stuff. Sean O'Sullivan is in Clonmel. Fine part of the country, Sean. How are you today?
Very good, thank you. Very good.
His only downfall, he's a Corkman.
Hey, I didn't open my mouth and you had to bring that up.
Like. Well, we've a Corkman in Tipperary. And by the time this airs, this may be a redundant question, but currently there is rumours that a tip man may be taking over the Cork job that was recently vacated by Mr. Kingston. Have you any information on that you'd like to share with us, Sean?
I doubt that will ever happen.
Right, that's nix that one.
I don't think we go outside the county for some reason.
Great stuff. Well, Sean, tell us about some of your, I guess, the generosity and the spirit of the work you do in the community down there.
Like Michelle, we've just finished an Irish Wheelchair Association job in Tiptown. New rads, painting, all done up and everything. So hopefully that'll be all finished by the end of this month. So it's a nice, decent job in their service, because the one in Tipperary town covers a vast area. Like, remember the old way you tip north and tip south riding councils? So the one in Tip Town covers the tip south. It comes all the way as over as far as Clonmel, everything. And they're very busy in the day centre there in Tip Town. So we've it all. It's all being painted inside, outside, new rads, everything, just to freshen it up and give it a good, you know, look for themselves.
How much of a part of your job as a branch manager is this kind of benevolent work? Or maybe you'd give us a sense or an idea of what your day-to-day is like for you as a branch manager. And then we'll see how it compares with Mark and Michelle. And then Pat will score and see who's doing the most work.
This will be interesting. See what time he starts at first.
So let's see who's the best BSer right now. I'm only kidding. On you go.
No, at the end of life of a Chadwicks branch manager, I suppose, with the way things are at the moment, an awful lot of your customers want to talk to you directly now because of pricing and supply and making sure what it is. And then for us, it's making sure that deliveries go out in time, customers are being served, everybody's happy, good atmosphere. People like coming into a good atmosphere into the shop. And it's up to you to basically, you have the people to do it. It's up to you to make sure all the links in the cog are tied in together.
And Mark, down in Waterford, how important is it for you on a local level to have strong links with your community and have that almost personal relationship with your customers?
Oh, very much so, Aidan. I suppose being part of a big nationwide organisation, a lot of our competitors, most of my big competitors are local merchants. So it's important that while we do the national things like the Irish Wheelchair Association and DIY SOS, it's equally important, I think, for us to do things ourselves locally. Be it, you know, our examples would be recently we did a job with the local men's shed where we provided paint for them to spruce it up. We did some work with the Ballybeggan estate across from us where they were doing a new remembrance garden, and we supplied. They were initially looking for picks and forks and shovels and wheelbarrows. And then when we asked a few questions, we realized they also needed, more importantly, they needed some warm bodies. And it was great to get involved, you know, give up a few hours, particularly for a manager like myself, who Pat knows spends a lot of time in the office just relaxing. It was nice to get out and do a bit of proper work on a side. So, but it's usually important.
Very good. And of course, you were involved with a very big project and one that was very visible because we all saw it on the television on DIY SOS. And we've spoke before on this series about the relationship Chadwick's has with such a brilliant television show that's very meaningful and lasting in how it helps and changes people's lives. Will you tell us about the project you and your team worked on, Mark?
Yes, Aidan, yes. So the project we were involved in was a local girl, Laura Sheridan. Laura's had a lot of issues. She developed cancer. She's a single mom of three kids, two of them who would have autism. So she would have been under a lot of pressure. And yet when we got a chance to meet her first before the project started, her level of optimism and you know, she just was the most positive person that I think I've ever come across in my life. And, you know, I think the day before I met her, I was having a bad day. I'd maybe lost a big order or two colleagues hadn't showed up for work and maybe my handicap in golf has gone out to 26. And then you meet this lady and she's just full of just love and out for just being a nice kind of person and looking so positive. So really, I mean, it was fantastic to be involved. Because it was done during COVID, it was done last November. There was a lot of COVID in Waterford at the time. So we couldn't get as many colleagues from the branch involved. So I was kind of like the conduit between the colleagues back in the branch and the site. And like my part was very, very, very small. You know, and yet you meet volunteers up there, you know, who've come from Dublin and Donegal and steel fixers who have come down from Tullamore to give up, you know, a week of their time. Best thing I was involved in last year, even though I would say my part was quite small, and you know, but it was lovely, fantastic to be involved, and great to see the look of joy on the family, the Sheridan family face when the project finished, to see, you know, and to know that, like, now they're living in a house that's been adapted specifically for the kids. I think Laura described the two boys as being extreme flight risks, climbing out over fences and running away. So we had to build extra high security fencing out the back. But yeah, it's a fantastic project to be involved in. Really, really, really enjoyed it.
Brilliant. And the results were just amazing. And we were talking to Baz, and Baz is currently headed for Cork because they've a very big undertaking for a show for DIY SOS that we will see later in this year. And Sean, are you involved in this?
Yes, as they say, I'm the Chadwick's chieftain on this one, as I've been told by Shiv.
Easy there now, chieftain.
Well, that's what they call me now. I can only say what I've been called by the team. No, it's huge. This one is huge. In fairness to them taking it on, like, you know, six houses, six families to be, you know, from where they're coming from, God help us, what's going on out there. So in fairness, like, it's a huge undertaking for the team. Beautiful houses built in the 1700s, all protected buildings and listed buildings, which makes the job and everything so much tighter and harder, and getting specialised stuff. And when you're getting a bit of skirting, you're cutting out a piece to match up, and you can only replace certain things. And like, even to the windows have to be taken out and sanded down and be put back in. Even the glass in the windows is protected, the doors, everything. It's just a huge job, but it's going to be 9 days is hard going for six houses. I can just say that. Like, they need loads of people. I think 150 a day, we were told.
Wow, really?
Yeah, 150 okay. People per day, they reckon they'll need to get this through.
We can hear the sense of the size of the job in your voice, and the sense of apprehension, but also readiness for this big task. And like you say, it's for six families from Ukraine that will hopefully go some way to improving their life. So let's go back to Galway, and we'll talk to Michelle about careers in building merchants. Is it a good place to work, Michelle?
It's a great place to work. It's every day is different. With the best intentions in the world, you come in the morning with a plan, and next thing something else happens and the plan goes out the window. So it's constantly changing. There's always variety in it. It's great. I think some people can be a bit intimidated by it because they see builders merchants as, oh God, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn, but there's a massive amount of expertise within the industry. Our people are the strength of our business. It's as simple as that. Like, there is a lot to learn. There's always things changing. There's new standards, new regulations, but it's great. Like, in Chadwicks, there's plenty of opportunities for people to learn. You know, recently we did the NZEB training course here. A couple of my own team have gone. I've gone and done it myself. I know a lot of the branch managers have gone to do it. And it's great to learn, you know, the new standards that are required. There's also training like the Management Development Programme, like the Sales Academy. So there's plenty of training available within our own industry. And not alone that, you're constantly learning from your peers around you. That's where we pick up the majority of the stuff. It's learning from your peers side by side. And yeah, it's a great environment.
Great stuff. And Mark in Waterford, what did you start out at before you worked your way up to branch manager?
I started with a company called R&J or The Wire, who became part of the Buckley, were part of the Buckley group. So I started working in the timber yard, in a timber yard driving a forklift.
Which was illegal at the time because he was 12.
The rules were a little bit lighter in those days. So yeah, I'm lucky. I suppose I'm lucky, and I've worked in almost every conceivable position in the organisation over the years. And I concur with Michelle. Like, I mean, one of the things I always notice, and Sean would have examples of this, the amount of colleagues that we have that have, you know, 25, 35, 45, Sean had an example lately, I think, a 50-year service in the organization. And I think if you know, you say, why would people want to work with the Chadwick Group? You know, the people who are working here generally tend to stay, and they stay a long time. There's careers there for them, and, you know, a great place to work.
Well said.
And look, it would be remiss of me not to mention, and all the slagging we do, but the three guys in the call here, them and along with the branch managers that we have. Like, today, you've asked a question, a day in the life of a branch manager. It's a hard job. There's no illusion what they have. The guys have mentioned there, every day is a different day, and some days are problems, some days are good, some days are bad. But from my perspective, and us in the sport office, we believe we've got the best bunch of branch managers in the industry.
Great stuff. Sean, you might talk about, maybe if you're best qualified to talk about it, or maybe Mark, we'll start with Sean, about the ripple effect that being involved in charitable endeavours in your community that can have.
The good thing is, I suppose, look, when, as Mark will have seen and I'm starting to see, you're meeting a load of different people that you mightn't have ever dealt with because they might have been brought in from different areas. So you're getting to build up a relationship with them, which down the road is like, it's a charity and it's a great job, but your name is out there. As we said, look, the name Chadwicks is now out in the forefront. We know it's like we're all there. All our teams come down. They all help out. All the staff in the branch, the customers, everybody knows you're doing it. Next week, that person that you're talking to might need something. Where are they going to say, do you know what? We'll go to Chadwick. So, you know, you're giving to the community, and you don't mind giving because, as I said, the causes are all great causes. You know, and it's great to be associated. It's good for the brand name. It's good for us. It's good for us as people, you know, to see how we do it, you know.
100%. Everyone wins in that regard. And Mark?
I suppose, like, in similar to Sean and similar to Michelle, I suppose when your branch gets a chance to be involved in something like this, initially there's a bit of trepidation. You're thinking, God, I'm so busy. I have so much going on. And now you're going to be hit with this. So the first thing you do is you ring the manager from the previous branch, and he tells you, oh my God, you're really going to be up for it now for next year. And you think, brilliant, that's just exactly what I need. But what you find is, people can tell you about it, but until you actually start to experience it, you've no real comprehension. It starts lovely and slow, and everything is organized for about 25 minutes, and then it just takes off and it goes mad. But I think for us, apart from the obvious ones and, you know, getting the brand out there and being associated with such a worthwhile project, just the people, the colleagues within the branch. And as I said, because of COVID, most of them couldn't get up. We got some of them up at the very end for the reveal. But in the main, we couldn't be putting excessive people up there. But they all stood way taller. When this project was finished, you could see people within, colleagues within the branch, and almost standing taller and being so proud that they were involved in, you know, which was, you know, what was a fantastic endeavor. And, you know, you felt really, really good. As I said, we didn't do, you know, we provided a certain amount of material and as much help as we could, you know, and compared to some of the people who were there 24/7, painters and, you know, laborers who were, you know, giving up 15, 16 hour shifts. And you think, God, I'm going up there for 20 minutes, but you still felt like you were involved in something really, really good. And it's just a super, super feeling to have been given the opportunity to get involved in something like that.
Like, they're all shy managers, but they weren't shy about getting on the camera. Your man's on the camera. He says he's up there for 20 minutes. He's on the camera. He's more time on the camera than Baz was. The whole lot of them are saying, Ross O'Connor, Tony Duggan, and O'Brien. They're on the camera more than Baz.
Guilty as charged by the sound of it. Yeah. Grand stuff. All right, well, before this turns into more than a verbal bit of sparring, we will say thank you to Mark O'Mahony, the branch manager at Chadwicks in Waterford, to Sean O'Sullivan, who does the same in Clonmel, and likewise to Michelle Fahey in Galway. You're great representatives of what you do and great ambassadors for the business, and indeed with your charitable efforts as well. So to each of you, thank you very much for joining us. And that's it. It is time to wrap it up for season two of Under Construction with Chadwicks. Thank you to everyone for being involved behind the scenes and otherwise in the making of this series. We hope you have enjoyed it. If you missed any of the episodes, worth going back over it, Pat, because pretty much over the last 10 episodes, we have come at the topic and the area and the industry of construction from every angle.
We have. Look, we've covered a number of areas around sustainability, retrofit, you know, how to decorate your home, some design information, a lot about, you know, the future of the construction sector in relation to apprenticeships and how we can get younger people involved in the sector. You know, we've looked at things around, you know, control systems. We've talked about DIY SOS on numerous occasions, and rightly that we do so. So yeah, there's a massive amount of topics covered, and looking forward to the next season, we'll hopefully cover a lot more.
And Pat did that all off the top of his head. You get 10 out of 10 for remembering what we did on this show. Fair play to you. Pat, it's been a lot of fun working with you. Thanks for having me along
Likewise.
For the podcast. So that's the sad news, if you might consider that to be sad, that we are finished for season two, but we have good news, Pat.
We'll be back. Season three. So, well, my mother wants us back because she's listened to all the episodes, so she's happy. And even she's the only listener.
The final thank you goes to Pat's mother, our most loyal listener of the podcast. And thank you to you as well for listening. We hope it was of help and benefit and indeed entertainment to you. So, from Pat Moore and myself, Aidan Power, take care. The Under Construction podcast is produced by the Podcast Studios for Chadwicks, Ireland's leading building merchants company, where you can choose from the best products and expert advice to get the job done. Drop into any of your local Chadwicks stores nationwide or visit us online at chadwicks.ie.